Yep.
Good evening. We will call the meeting to order. This is the District 303 Board of Education. This is our monthly meeting. It is 7 o'clock on Monday, August 12th, 2013. Thank you, everyone, for joining us tonight. And Mrs. Rasher, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Gaffney.
Here.
Mrs. Hewell.
Here.
Mr. Manhood.
Here.
Mr. McKellen.
Here.
Mr. McNally.
Here.
Mrs. Burrow.
Here.
Mr. Spahn.
I am here. Would you please join me in the pledge to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we'll now call to order the public hearing on the fiscal year 2013-2014 Community Unit School District 303 budget. First, we'll have Seth Chapman give us a brief presentation. Then we will hear any public comments, and then we will get comments from the board. So, Seth?
Great. Thank you, Mr. Sprung. Just want to acknowledge real quickly that we've already, of course, gone through this budget process very far, and me being new on the job, Mr. Kaufman has graciously joined us tonight, so I'll be walking us through the presentation. Happy to answer any questions you may have. If for some reason you decide to delve a little deeper, Brad's been nice enough to join us to answer some of those questions. So, with that being said, we'll get started. Proud to say that through the budget process, we've been able to achieve several board goals. As you might recall, in March, the tax abatement of debt service, which saved roughly $2.5 million tax dollars. That, of course, helped us to establish a tax levy that held on average for existing taxpayers a 2.5% increase. We're aligned to our five-year financial forecast with PMA, and we fully funded instructional services. Looking further out at our future budget projections, as we've discussed in the past, our debt service will drop significantly in the 2017 levy, which is the fiscal 18-19 year. So the board will be in a position, if it so desires, to reduce taxes at that time as well. Our budget timeline, as most of you are familiar with, there has been opportunity for our stakeholders to have input throughout this process. We're now at the opportunity tonight to hold this public hearing and hopefully the board will adopt this budget. Budget highlights, a couple, are all funds projected expenditures will exceed projected revenues, and our debt service tax abatement and TORC fund have helped to aid us in that process. The key here is that the district will balance the budget through the operational efficiencies throughout the year. Unrelated to that is our state transportation aid, which has seen a reduction of $331,500. You might recall in the last draft back in June, we were looking at a number that was $600,000 more than that. So thankfully, that number has come down. We have reduced expenditures and pre-purchased some things like buses to basically negate that reduction in revenue. I know you're familiar with the term big levers. This, of course, does update from year to year. Our consumer price index, urban, 1% roughly equals about $1.31 million in tax levy. In new growth, $1 million in new property growth reflects about $48,000 in our tax levy. And on the state side, our general state aid, kind of two ways to slice this. If the foundation level is set, $100 difference, it's $119,000. Also, if the state board prorates that and our appropriations are changed by 1%, then that's a $56,000 adjustment. So the next three slides are graphs supporting this. As you can see, the consumer price index has fluctuated throughout the years. We're looking, of course, at a 1.7 that was announced in January, and then we're forecasting out the rest of the way for a 2.5% increase. In terms of new growth, no surprise there has not been a ton of new growth lately. We're right at that 2012 number of $12 million as we come into this year, and forecasting that to be flat out in the future. In terms of general state aid, you'll notice the blue line, which you can kind of see running parallel to that red line about halfway through the graph, that is that's what the General Assembly has passed. The red line is the effective level, or in other words, what they've funded. So up through FY11, that number remained aligned at 100%. Over the last four fiscal years, you'll see that started to drop off, and because of that, this year, this was just announced last week, we will see $5,427 per pupil, and that for us is a reduction of about $600,000 into our FY14 budget. On our revenue assumptions, again, we talked about foundation levels, so our budget has properly forecasted for that proration. We're covered in that area. Other state categorical grants are flat. We talked about transportation, so that was a slight decrease. Our other local revenues also held flat, which reflects a revenue increase of about 2%. On the expenditure side, again, with the big levers, I'm looking at salaries, 1% equals roughly $970,000. On the benefits side, 1%. This is really health insurance we're talking about, is $111,000. And then on class size, and I want to emphasize here, this is district-wide average class size, plus or minus 1, is 1.6 million. On the assumption salaries, we've negotiated contracts for the next 3 years in that area, so that's those are known. On the benefits side, for health insurance increases, we've estimated a 3% increase in the budget, and then no change in average class size. And all funds total would be an increase of 2.13% in our expenditures. So this graph represents kind of a historical and future look in terms, and a current, of course, look at our fund balance, the red line indicating our high point, but most importantly, the blue line indicating our low point throughout the fiscal year. Of course, making sure we don't approach anywhere near zero, so we don't have to go out and borrow, which is costly to the district. Are there any questions at this time? Yeah, answer those.
Seeing none, why don't we go to the public comments, and then we can come back for board comments. Are there any public comments specific to the budget? Okay. Seeing none. Board members, comments, questions?
I just have a little statement I want to note is that over the years, since the tough years in the early 2000s, the board has built up the fund balance from negative territory based on an ed rate increase in 2003. So it's been the community and the board and schools and teachers that have done it together. And this budget looks to me to be the first time that not only has the fund balance not grown as quickly, it's topped out, and whether it's this year or next year, we're now looking into reducing our fund balance, correct? Do you think it'll be this school year? Previously, it looked like it was this school year. Now, with the kind of the redone, the constantly, you know, altering number, you know, not altering, but developing numbers, it looks like it might not be this year, it might be next year?
Correct.
Okay. Because to me, that's kind of an important point. When we have stopped being able to maintain our healthy, our financial situation is healthy but optimal in having the correct amount of fund balance and then coming back off of it. So I'm just kind of telling other board members, no?
I'm not sure I agree with that. I mean, here's where, on a percentage basis, I think we can maintain fund balance where we're at right now. On a percentage basis, it might decrease, okay? In other words, as a percentage of budget, but as an overall current fund balance, and we've been up, I think we're up around 34%, somewhere around there, is that mm-hmm. right? Around 34%. Our board policy says 28 to 32, I think. So what we've been trying to do is trying to not dip into fund balance at all, but try to get it back down into that 28 to 32%, and so that's where we try to keep it. That 28 to 32% will keep us away from borrowing, so that we don't have
absolutely.
To.
I know the importance of that
right.
particular number.
But I don't think we'll see us actually reducing fund balance. That's certainly not my objective, and not the objective of what the administration here in any respect.
I realize it's not the objective. I'm just saying with the constant, you know, pings by the state, the constant, you know, it's never good news from the state. It's just we're falling into that quicker, and it's just bothersome to me because it took the district a long time to climb out of a financial problem in the early 2000s, and now we're looking at starting to kind of lose that edge, which it's just a number that's important to me because it took us a long time to get there, and I hate to see us move down. Nonetheless, we are in terrific shape, and we are continuing to try and do everything we can, I know, and the board is too, so that's just an important number, an important time for me in my timeline.
I agree with Mrs. Shilwhite. I thought that I saw that we were taking in nearly $500,000 less than we were planning to spend this year, that the budget showed that. And I understand about the fund balance maybe being a little high. But are we ever going to try to get the fund balance to the point that we can pay forward both of our halves of the year? You know, like a lot of districts, you know, when they get their taxes, they pay first half of the year. When they get their taxes in September, they pay the second half of the year. Instead of paying half of it back, like we do, you know, we use fund balance and then pay it back. Would we ever?
Well, it would require you to have nearly 100% of fund balance in our district in order to do that. Mm-hmm. You certainly, that could be the board's objective. It wouldn't be certainly my recommendation to do that. Because in some respects, what you would be doing is holding taxpayer dollars that they could be utilizing in some respect. So I'm not sure but in order to have it so you wouldn't be relying on the next year's taxes coming in, you would essentially have to have nearly 100% of fund balance because almost all of our money comes from local taxpayers. I think only about 15%, 17% comes from, you know, state and federal sources. So with that in mind, I think you'd have to be careful in regards
Wait,
to
But isn't it once, if we were to get to that point, then we wouldn't need as high a fund balance as we have needed because we would be...
Well, no, you would actually need 100%. Well, fund balance is only a snapshot of June 30th. So when you close the books on June 30th, it's whatever money you have in the bank that day. That's what the fund balance, that blue line is. The red line. The blue line is a number that varies. It occurs, I think, sometime in May. Is that right, guys?
Yes.
So sometimes in May. So it's around May that it occurs. And the reason that occurs is because you've now spent down those dollars that you accumulated. So we actually add substantially to fund balance on your first tax payment. Comes in, and we're actually using that the subsequent year. All right. So then the second tax payment actually, that fund balance, if you took a snapshot in October, it would actually be larger than that, your fund balance, if you took a snapshot then. But then you take a snapshot again in May, and it's depleted down substantially. So that's why it's done that. So, and my understanding, this historically started way back a long, long time ago. I think, I want to say in the 40s or so, there was a year in which there was, the state gave a tax amnesty day or something like that, so you didn't have to pay your taxes for 1 year. And so that's why everybody got kind of behind the way it is right now, and there's no way of catching that up, that I know of, short of putting more fund balance in, and then you would even have a higher amount. So,
okay.
Our fund balance looks, you know, in some respect higher than many other districts because we are so reliant on local property taxpayers. If you were getting payments, although in some respects that's a good thing, if we were getting more payments from the state, I'm not sure they're any more reliable, more reliable. But
okay, any other comments? Okay, seeing none, that closes the hearing. And now we go on to we'll open the hearing on public hearing on the fiscal year 2013-2014 Mid-Valley Special Education Cooperative Budget. And we'll follow the same process. We'll have some comments from Seth.
Thank you. This will be a much shorter presentation. On the screen you see the budget highlights for the year. A real quick reminder, this information is the same as what was reviewed in June 5th at Mid-Valley and in June 27th at the service meeting, so that the information has not changed. The co-op, Mid-Valley, servicing Charles, Batavia, Caneland, Geneva, and Burlington Central. It's a grant and tuition-based model. Total budget is a little over $15 million. Overall reduction compared to last year, 18%. And that's largely due, as we've talked about, to the OTPTs and that level. Essentially, other than the ones serving the Mid-Valley program, those have been taken out of their budget, and districts are taking care of that locally. Enrollment projections are up 17 students compared to the prior year. The only real change, I think, from a financial structure perspective is the administrative fee prior to this year was not being assessed for related services such as OTPT. And this year, those FTs are calculated into the administrative fee, which is a little bit of a change.
Okay, we'll open up for any public comments. And again, it's just comments specific to the Mid-Valley budget. Okay, seeing none, any board member comments? Okay, seeing none, that closes the hearing on the 2013-2014 Mid-Valley Special Education co-op budget. And that takes us to citizen comments. Do we have any?
Yep. The school code provides for a public comment period at each board meeting, subject to reasonable constraints. The practice of this board is to limit public comment to 3 minutes per speaker to a total of 30 minutes per meeting. Speakers addressing the board are expected to maintain a reasonable level of civility. Also, personal matters are sensitive and confidential. Comments regarding individuals should be respectful. Insults and defamatory remarks have no place in this setting. The board will terminate public comment if speakers cannot adhere to these guidelines. Please identify yourself at the beginning of your remarks.
Thank you, Mr. Mannheim. And our first comment is from Carla Karinsky.
Good evening. My name is Carla Karinsky. I have written my things down so I can read it and get through it in the 3 minute time and make sure that I address all of the issues that I was hoping to address tonight. In light of the recent trial regarding the Davis-Richmond merger, I must voice my distress with some of the issues that came to light. In the trial, Dr. Schloman testified that it did not occur to him that the AYP status of the new schools might be affected by merging the two schools. He further testified that he did not recall any such discussions during many of the public hearings held on the matter. How can he testify that it did not occur to him when AYP was the focal point of most of those meetings, if not all of them? Questions were asked specifically about AYP's status and the impact of this reorganization on the two schools. Did he not listen to the concerns expressed by the parents at the meetings? Among the concerns expressed over and over were the rushed nature of the merger, proper implementation of STEM, length of the school day, transportation, logistics of younger siblings, being at different schools with different start times and the same end time, the desire for a neighborhood school, and the list goes on. Because of this, I find it particularly disheartening that the concern that Dr. Schulman presented to the state superintendent was, quote, parents don't want their child in a school with diversity, in reference to the challenge to the merger, when this was not brought up as a concern by any of the parents involved in any meetings that I attended, nor during the legal proceedings. I would have hoped that as a superintendent, Dr. Schulman would be aware of the impact of such a major restructuring as it relates to the federal No Child Left Behind legislation that must be followed. At very least, he should have been aware of the issue since parents repeatedly expressed a concern with the matter. Thank you.
Thank you. And seeing no other citizens' comments, that takes us to the superintendent's report. Dr. Schulman?
Thank you. I'd like to acknowledge some people that are here, and they snuck in the door, but we'd like to say hi to them. Wild Rose Troop 56, you want to stand up, guys, that are here? Thank you. Is this for, what's this for?
Communications.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us. Thank you very much. Secondly, is I'd like to talk about III conference. It's coming up in November, but we just received notice that Tony Wagner is going to be here. As you know, that's the book that 800 of our staff members read. And so he's going to be the one of the keynote speakers on Saturday, the 23rd, I think. Let Chris know if you're planning to attend the Triple I conference November 22nd through the 24th. Sounds like a good opportunity for us to hear Tony directly. Opening day, as you know, I sent you out an email, and you are going to, I think, participate this after the thing in a little video session with Mr. Blaney. I'm sure you're all excited about that.
Yes,
you just can't wait to do video with Mr. Blaney for opening day. We are not going to have the opening day the way we were in the past. We're going to try it differently this year, mainly because we have a lot of new administrators this year, and it's going to be a chance for our staff to stick together and talk with them as well at each of their schools. And then first day of school is August 21st. Can't believe it's already here. Soon to be here shortly. And then board retreat, we sent out, afterwards I asked you to bring your calendars along. Actually, we received notice from the individual who will be facilitating, and she's got a lot of dates available sometime during the week, though, and may not have as much on weekends. So I don't know if that's something you want to entertain, if it is something you want to entertain, having, you know, an evening session. A 5 to 9 or something like that in the evening. So
who's could you facilitate?
The Illinois Association of School Boards. So
could you just elaborate on what a board retreat is? So we're not going to Switzerland or anything.
No,
Bahrain, right here.
Bahrain. Yeah. Our board retreats are much more benign than Switzerland. Unfortunately, our board retreats are. We stay here, and it's a chance for the board to discuss with each other kind of their goals and objectives, and we'll do that through a facilitation process. If you can, visit with Chris afterwards and talk about calendar dates that are available. I was able to obtain a different individual than what we had last time. So
okay, good. Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. That brings us to committee reports. Mr. Pirog, anything in community relations?
Community relations will be meeting next month, and I do have some good news that on August 15th, the Housing Commission met, and we have 20% affordable housing in St. Charles. For the commission to meet. And for a while, we've been hovering at like 13%, but because of the downside of the economy and thereby the downside in our home value, we are at affordable housing right now. So although the commission has not been suspended, we have an opportunity for people to buy wonderful housing stock in St. Charles at an affordable price.
Okay. Good. Mr. Gaffney, how about business services?
Business services did not meet, but we will be meeting 2 weeks from Thursday on the 29th at 5 o'clock here. We're back to our regular schedule.
Okay, how about Norris?
I can't remember the date, but basically just went over the list of bills. Okay. And then we'll be meeting next Monday, the 19th, and we'll actually be selecting our officers.
Okay, good. And learning and teaching?
Yes, we did meet. Met on July 29, and there are numerous things since we didn't meet in June. The first thing is the administration proposed a new identification procedure for academically talented students in the elementary school. It involves using the acuity testing that we already have and then not using ITBS, and that will be a cost savings. There are other specifics that they're going to work out, and they will give that to the board when they've worked out all their details. Then there are several items that are on the consent agenda. The first is the hospitality textbook. The second is Overdrive, which is a custom collection of ebooks, audiobooks, music, and videos for the middle school and high school learning centers. That's on the consent agenda. It's relatively low cost for 300,000 selections, of which our learning center directors will be involved in choosing them. It's not kids having open season on all those items. And the next is another, let's see, software. It's called TrueFlix or FreedomFlix, based on whether it's elementary or middle school. It's materials for science and social sciences. A five-year subscription is $35,000. So it's a very low-cost access to a lot of materials for those areas. Fifth is, and another thing on consent agenda, is a resource for the AT Math Academically Talented. More rigor is needed for those students, and so there is an additional supplemental text. It's text, but it's consumable, so I don't know if we call it a workbook, but and that's on the consent agenda also. Then we did, Dr. Pomplin visited with us and started to talk about something which is going to be important for the next meeting and for we'll be hearing a lot about going forward. And that is the proposed new targets for the school scorecard and what those new benchmarks mean. It's hard to really try and it's stated in the notes, but just at this next presentation of the scores, the cut score for meeting exceeding will be lower, will be dropped relative to what it has been. And that was in anticipation of the state changing, getting the waiver for the No Child Left Behind that most of the other states have gotten. We didn't get the waiver, but they did drop down that cut score. Is that a word I should use? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. The cut score is, okay. The cut scores went up. So therefore, our scores will go down for the meets and exceeds because fewer students will meet that. We are in good company with every other school district probably, and most other schools in the state. But it's just going to look odd as we've gotten used to performance of our students in the 90 percentiles on many of their tests. Also, this year is the year that the meets and exceeds mark is at 92.5%. Yeah, 92.5%, which is a high bar anyway, and we might have possibly made. But anyway, these changes are all going to really become very big focus, probably in the newspapers and that, because I learned today when I met to prepare for our next meeting that those scores came out today. And so school districts, as they start to roll them out, are going to be showing their citizens. Most schools are, probably all of them, will be showing them scores that they're just not used to seeing. And it's hard to explain exactly, but it has a lot to do with just the machinations of the state and with how they're scoring the test. That doesn't mean that we've done anything less. There'll be more discussion on this at the next learning and teaching meeting. Additionally, Dr. Pomplin spoke to us about, and he put St. Charles North and St. Charles East in with their, used their ACT scores to put them in with a cohort. Both of those schools are around 23 on their ACT scores. So put those with those schools and then compared those schools as those students move forward, their grades, their grade point average in college, their completion, there was another word for that.
Persistence.
Their persistence, and found that our kids perform as you would expect for the every ACT that they posted. So it was kind of another piece of information is to try and show value to the scoring system that we do have. And that's it. I do want to say that the next meeting is next Monday, and at that time we're going to receive those scores and learn more about how it's been put together and if there's any comparisons out there. And additionally, we're going to discuss an item which was in my committee or in the Learning and Teaching Committee a couple months ago, and it had to do with discipline and to just discuss further the board's desires on being informed about student discipline not related to expulsions, so more like suspensions or code of conduct. And so we can be clear about what we want. And since it was in my committee, that's why Dr. Schulman suggested putting it in for next Monday. Sure. So those are the two main items. Please do come. And I have one other thing. There have been a number of agenda items that have been in learning, teaching, kind of maybe languishing for a while. And so I just did want to ask board members if they've been answered to your satisfaction or you require more, you'd like more information, and in some cases what specifically we were asking for. So I'll just remind you that one was cursive, and we will have a presentation on cursive, I think, did we decide, on Monday, or no, in the future. In the near future, but we'll have teachers here to explain. So cursive is still to be discussed. We had a little conversation about the board policy on homework. Mrs. McConnell, you were co-chairing that committee, and we had the survey from the parents and the teachers, and Mr. Allison and myself weren't sure if we had completed that discussion, if you wanted more conversation.
If I recall, the survey was kind of like this.
Yeah.
I don't think the survey really gave us a concrete answer, because the students thought they got too much and the teachers thought they didn't do enough. There were a lot of crisscrosses in it. So I think it's still a conversation.
So what would you like to hear? What specifically would you like to hear on that? Because we got the survey, and other than that, you have a lot of people's opinions, and I don't know. I really just want to know what you want to see.
Well, what had concerned me from the very I think it was one of my first meetings here when I asked one of our teachers how much homework their children got as a high school teacher, as I recall, and they said, well, 30 minutes if they do it. And I've done so much reading about how teachers, parents, and time are the three top issues in teaching children. And if we let time for homework go, which costs us nothing, but it gives our children time to review their work, to study on their own independently, to do research, to do whatever, and turn in homework, that's really helpful to their learning. So I just think that it might be something worth discussing that we do a little bit more
homework. So would you, at this point, would administration be putting anything together for us, or should we just discuss it at a committee meeting in the future?
Well, it would be good to know how administration feels about it. It would be good to know how the department chairs or the people that do the learning and teaching feel about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we will keep it on for a board discussion.
Okay,
because
good.
They presented information, and we'll maybe get refreshed on what that information was, and then we'll discuss it. There will be a future presentation on class rank, just so that the board knows where it stands in terms of class rank being used as a label, I guess, in high school, because it's working its way through to where we won't be using class rank anymore. Another question. This actually, Ms. Pirog, is kindergarten and the impact of early childhood going forward. Mm-hmm. Do you have a specific way direction for us?
What my interest is in actually not necessarily full-day kindergarten, but also going into preschool, the third and 3 and 4 year olds, and start tracking them. And I'd like to see what, and I already know the answer to this, but I would like the board to be able to be responsive to the needs of our district. If you have a English-speaking child, native English-speaking child who tracks in at 3 and 4 year old program all the way up through 12 versus the non-native English-speaking child with their language acquisition, how are they tracking with their academic excellence? And I know the end result shows that early childhood education is the best gift we can give to our children to establish a strong foundation for academic excellence. But I want to see how that affects us. I mean, should we add more preschool programs? I know that Illinois requires half-day kindergarten, but are we looking at going full-day kindergarten? Because it's not just homework. It's having the skills and the ability and the interest early on to be able to do this.
So you're particularly interested in the preschool, very early childhood part.
Preschool onto full-day kindergarten, yes.
You know, I will I will discuss with Mr. Allison and Dr. Conklin if we have, as a district, that kind of a longitudinal study or mm-hmm. what we
and is there
put
what
together.
What the capacity is. Is it something, do we have the room, the availability, and the parent support to move to that kind of program?
Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, I thought actually all day kindergarten had been approved, and I guess it just went through one of the houses and not mm-hmm. the other. So I thought it was on track. I thought this almost would not
but
be
it's
a
an
question.
Option. I think it's still going to be an option mm-hmm. Where half day would have to be offered
right.
in addition to.
Right.
Oh, okay. So those are the things that I was interested. They've been there for a while, so I appreciate everybody weighing in. Hopefully maybe you got that, and we might have to give you a call if we need more direction. One other quick thing is that Mr. Gaffney just told me that there is a North Center meeting at 5 maybe, so we'd like to start this meeting at 5:45 next Monday. It gives people a chance to be there. Thank you.
Okay. And policy?
We didn't meet this month.
Okay. You're meeting in September?
We're meeting in September. Right.
Okay. Okay, anything that I missed? You got everyone? Okay, let's go on then to our four action items. Do I have a motion for the adoption of the fiscal year 2013-2014 Community Unit School District 303 budget? So moved. Mr. Gaffney, do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Manheim? Comments, questions?
I just want to make sure that in adopting the budgets over the next couple of years that we do take a conscientious effort and make sure that our goals for 2017, as we have set forth for the parameters now, that we can look at some type of tax structure revision.
I agree.
The next couple of years.
That's going to be key.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I agree.
Oh. Yep.
I agree.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay. Seeing none, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Hill?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCallum?
No.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perot?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mr. Spoon?
Yes. Motion is approved. And that brings us to the second item B, adoption of the fiscal year 2013-2014 Mid-Valley Special Education Cooperative Budget. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Okay, Mrs. Huell, second?
I'll second.
Okay, Mr. Pirak? Questions, comments? Okay, seeing none, would you call the roll?
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Pirak?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Huell?
Yes.
Mr. Sproul?
Yes. And item 6C, do I have a motion to approve student travel for the 2013-2014 school year?
So moved.
Mr. Second.
Gaffney, second. Mrs. Huell. Questions, comments?
I have questions.
Yes.
Mr. Sperling, I thought that I read in the materials that we were going to have a number of staff going along on this trip. Did I read that correctly? Who's in charge of it? Okay, are they paying their own way, or is the district paying their way?
Dale can speak to that. He's here.
Okay, yeah. Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
The staff, there are several staff members actually going. Mm-hmm. There are going to be three staff members whose cost is going to be covered by the cost of the trip. That is myself, Mr. Malloy, who's the other choral director going, mm-hmm. and we are going to be taking an administrator with us as well.
Okay.
And Woody Travel has agreed to pay for those.
Right.
So, and everybody else pays their own way.
Okay, so the district isn't.
It's just those
for
three.
Any of the
we
other
do
staff.
Have. We do have other staff, other teachers, and parents of students who are work in the district will be going, but they will be paying their own way.
Okay.
But they do represent the district, and they are very helpful with us on the tour. We have right now. We currently have 91 people signed up for the trip.
Pretty soon, you're going to have your own airplane.
Yeah, it would seem it'd be nice to charter it, right? But we've had a lot. This will be our fourth trip. We've had a lot of success, and we've had a lot of parents participating. Last trip to Italy, we had a 2-to-1 ratio, two students for every parent. So I feel very comfortable, and we do have good administrators and good teachers that go along. So
good. Thank you.
Okay.
Sure.
Any other questions?
We're going to take a good hard look at economic stature, or not economic, the political stature throughout the country right now before?
Yeah. As we always do. And it's your, it's board's responsibility to make that determination. If you feel it's unsafe to travel, it is for you to make that call. Okay. Currently, and I included that in the initial proposal, there are no issues at this point in time in Prague, in the Czech Republic. So, but obviously, as you know, it's a changing world. So we would obviously pay attention to that, and it would be your decision to make it. Of course, we would abide by that.
Okay. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And excuse me, if anything does happen, what is our notification so that our the district and the students will receive a refund?
Well, the way it works, there within the structure of the program that we've given you, the information we hand out, there is a structure for payment and a structure for certain dates of refund. If the school district makes those cancellations, everybody doesn't get their money back, all their money back. Up until the time that the cancellation happens, they will be refunded a certain amount of money, and it so states in the...
So that's country. Prorated?
Yes, it is.
So if there's terrorist activity in Prague, and we find out about it a week before the trip...
That's why we have it included this time, and this is one of the good things that I should point this out. Thank you for bringing up the question. We've included the tour protection plan. Everyone must purchase it.
Good.
That's a full refund.
Good. Excellent. Thank
okay?
you.
Okay. Good. And that was a good suggestion. Matter of fact, it's something I always encourage the parents to do. I've never required it of them, but I'm glad now we've made that decision, and everybody who travels will be required to purchase that insurance.
Very good.
And I'm also glad that we're going to have an administrator with us every time. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thing as well.
Mm-hmm. So. Great. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Who's the administrator, just out of curiosity?
We just to be determined.
Oh, oh, okay.
I want Audra Christensen to go, but since she's our new principal this year, but that's a family issue as well to be determined, but we will be taking an administrator. I know you're all going to want to go now, right?
Yes. Board
yeah, absolutely. Okay, seeing no other questions or comments, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. McCallum.
Yes.
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Perot.
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney.
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mr. Sperling.
Yes. Motion is passed. That brings us to 6D. Do I have a motion for ratification of Therapy Association for Special Children, otherwise known as TASC, agreement for 2013 through 2016 with Mid Valley Special Education Cooperative? Okay. Ms. McNally, do I have a second?
Second.
Ms. Pirog, questions, comments?
I was just wondering if you would just explain a little bit why this is done.
Well, I mean, this is a special, this is the Mid-Valley group. This was part of the, this is the OTPT group that originally was part of our district. You're the fiscal agent for, so they've negotiated a new contract. That contract now covers four individuals that are now employed under at Mid Valley. So,
is four the maximum we'll be employing, or could there be more?
There could be more. Could be less, depending on the needs of Mid Valley in regards to that. But four is the current number. There was at one point 24.
It says 28 here, but yeah.
20. I can't read that. 7. 27. Fingers were being held up back there. 27. So I knew it was in the 20s somewhere. So.
Okay. Thank you. I thought this. You talked about this previously. I want to make sure this was the one you've talked about.
Right. It is the one we talked about.
Like obvious to me.
Okay. Seeing no other comments, would you call the roll, please?
Mr. McNally.
Yes.
Mrs. Pro.
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney.
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell.
Yes.
Mr. Manheim.
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell.
Yes.
Mr. Sperling.
Yes. Motion is approved. Are there any items anybody would like taken off of the consent agenda?
I would, but I can't see them all. Can we move that up? Oh, thank you.
Do you know which one it is?
I've got one here. Yeah, I want to ask about the hospitality text. So that is
7E.
And I want to ask about overdrive.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's right at the top of the next one.
I got it. Okay. F. And Truflex. I don't care. Oh, yeah, no, I did have something about that. G. H. Okay. I want to ask for those to be pulled out.
E, F, G, and H?
Yep.
I believe those are all items discussed in learning and teaching, okay? Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda with the exception of items E, F, G, and H?
So moved.
Second? Mr. McNally, second. Questions, comments? Okay, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Brock?
Yes.
Mr. Gibb?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes.
Mr. Landon?
Yes.
Mrs. McCallum?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mr. Sprague?
Yes. Motion is approved. I don't need a motion to talk about each item, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. Do I have a motion to approve the hospitality textbook?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Ms. Gaff and Ms. Hill. Questions?
Questions. Okay, this is my question. I looked it up. We weren't given the name of the publisher. You know, we were just given Hospitality Services as the name of the textbook. So I looked it up, and I found Tinley Park publisher, but a South Carolina ISBN number, which confused me. And the price of the book was $45, and the price that we are showing is $4,000 for 30 of them. So I'm confused by that.
Who's that?
Dr. Allison.
I believe it's two sets of 30, if I recall.
Oh, because it read one set. Okay, it said a class set. Oh, okay.
Oh, so one for each high school.
Okay, so that would make more sense. All right. But it would be good in the future if, you know, I understand the publisher was probably, the name was given at the L&T meeting, but it would be good if we had it on, you know, on the agenda so that it would be easier for us to look up the publication.
Yeah, it was actually on display at the L&T meeting as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
But
it's on display here, too.
Was it over there?
It's over there now, but I mean, you know, and I found the book. I mean, I found the book, but it was just, it would be easier.
Okay.
To, yeah, okay. All right.
Yeah, would you call the roll?
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes.
Mr. Manning?
Yes. I didn't hear my name.
Sorry. Mrs.
McCallum?
No.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs.
Perrell?
Yes.
Mr. Sprague?
Yes. Motion is approved. Can I just do the other three together? Or do I do them separately?
You could do them together. I don't know. It would be...
All right. Well, let's just... Do I have a motion to approve item F, overdrive?
Yes. So moved. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'll second.
Mr. Gaffney, Mrs. Hill, second.
Excuse me.
Okay, my question about the overdrive is that it appeared that we had a three-year commitment at $10,000 a year, but we're paying the whole $30,000 in front, and I just wonder why we would do that.
No, it's not every year. I mean, as Mrs. Fitzgerald, I'll be with this one.
We're not paying it up front. It'll be $10,000 for this year.
It will be.
But then we're guaranteed that the next 3 years the price won't go up. There will be $10,000 next year and $10,000 the year.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Is that it?
Yep.
Okay. Would you call the roll?
Mrs. Hewitt?
Yes.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McCallum?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrell?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mr. Sprague?
Yes. Motion is approved. Do I have a motion to approve item G, TrueFlix Freedom Flix?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any question?
Well, it's a similar question. We have a five-year contract for $35,000, and I didn't know if that was all being paid at once.
That's the total five-year commitment.
And so before we know whether we like it or before we know how well it works, we're in for 5 years.
Well, the teachers have already reviewed this.
Do we know who, what other schools are using it?
Good.
Hmm?
I can get a list for you of schools that are using it. It's a Scholastic product, so I could certainly call a rep to run your list of districts.
Okay, that would be good. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Excuse me, point of concern. If we accept the book, what difference does it make who uses it? It's our staff and our review of it. I just, even if 10 schools said no, I don't feel we're going to vote it down, are we?
I think it's important to look at what other top districts are the ones we compare ourselves to, see what they're using. But
although this is a Scholastic product, which is a, you know, very reputable thing, and I kind of wonder if we don't have it for the beginning of the school, if it'll delay implementation of it when they go through, you know, their early school, their, you know, their work days at the beginning, if they don't know what their resources are.
Yeah.
Just as a reminder for all board members, we want to provide information for you, so if you can let me know ahead of time of questions, I'd really appreciate it, because I could have that information for you then available.
Okay.
Or, you know, come to the committee meetings, that's obviously the first choice, but secondly, if you can't, send me an email, we'll get the information so it's prepared for you at your table.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Is that your question? Okay, would you call the roll?
Mr. Manley?
Yes.
Mrs. McCallum?
No.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perrott?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell?
Yes.
Mr. Sproul?
Yes. Motion is approved. That takes us to item H. Do I have a motion to approve academically talented AT math resource? So moved. Mr. Gaffney, do I have a second?
I'll second.
Mrs. Hewell? Questions?
Question. The AT math that I looked at, the what was written about it, the first thing or the second thing that I think it said was that it was Common Core related, and that's worrisome to me because, you know, I think we all know by now, I don't know if everyone knows, but I think everybody has read enough about Common Core to know that that's not an ideal by any means. So I would just hope that our AT math would be basic math. That our kids would be
AT
learning.
Isn't basic math, though.
Well, no, I know what you mean. But okay, so their AT for a lower grade, though, this just means the kids are more talented, right? They're going to learn more quickly.
They're going to actually. There's an aspect to this. I think I'll just speak to it. I think in fourth grade, they're going to get the fourth grade and the fifth grade curriculum in 1 year, and then in fifth grade, they'll do the sixth grade curriculum. So it's accelerated, would that be the best
accelerated
word?
Accelerated.
Yeah. And they were using the resources with the other students currently use, but it just wasn't rigorous enough.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, would you call the roll?
Mrs. McCallum.
Yes.
Mr. McNeil.
Yes.
Mrs. Brock.
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney.
Yes.
Mrs. Hewell.
Yes.
Mr. Manley.
Yes.
Mr. Sproul.
Yes, motion is approved. For board information, freedom of information requests were attached. Anything additional we need to know about them?
No, I would just point out the amount of time being spent on freedom of information requests.
I
agree with you on that.
There's nothing we can do about it.
There's nothing we can do about it, but I think we should point out to citizens that we're spending 60 hours on masses of information.
I thought we charged for that now.
You can't charge only.
Yeah, only for the paper.
Right. So 60 hours of a person's time.
Right, I understand. And I think a lot of that stuff we'd already sent them. But didn't we talk about people having to pay after so many hours?
I can't charge.
You can't.
No. And the standard is set so high for it to be considered nuisance that there's really no choice. We have to respond to them.
Okay.
Sorry, Mr. Blaney.
Page 3.
Is there any new business from board members?
Yes.
Yes.
I have a concern. We were at the Learning and Teaching Committee, and we had a 2-year review for Davis Richmond. I have a concern that, as it is right now, according to the math data for the no risk factor students, the Richmond students are 10 percentage points behind the district as a whole in that building. Davis is 13 percentage points behind for no risk factor students. That eliminates IEP, LEP, foreign language. I have a concern as to why that is. They were unable to answer. They said they were going to be looking into that. I would posit that some of this has to do with reallocation of resources and attention to students that are not in that no-risk factor category, and that is of concern to me.
You know, you can actually remind me, in that meeting, were they going to come back?
They said they were going to look into that and monitor that this year. Mm-hmm. And I have a concern. I didn't, at the meeting, I didn't have much to say at that particular moment because I was digesting the data, but that is of concern that we're that far behind in those two buildings in math, which is, you know, really critical. And
is that something you want to take up in learning and teaching?
You know, we will take it up, and this Monday will be the scores from all schools and further delving, and I will talk with them about if they've come up with anything as they've examined it.
Okay. Any other new business?
I have one question. I brought it. Are you done?
Yeah.
Oh. But going back to Mrs. Shule's question about the amount of time spent, I think it came up at business services that we were going to try to tally some time on some of these people to give us a...
We do. And I've got some information to share with the board.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other new business? Okay. Seeing none. I can imagine we have some Boy Scouts just chomping at the bit to get out of here. So. That brings us to close, or do I have a motion to adjourn to closed session?
Someone.
Oh, you need to read that.
You got
to
read that.
Oh, yeah. Do I have a motion to adjourn to closed session for the purpose of student discipline, the placement of individual students in special education programs, and other matters relating to individual students, and litigation when an action against, affecting, or on behalf of the particular public body has been filed and is pending before a court or administrative tribunal, or when the public body finds that an action is probable or imminent, in which case the basis for the finding shall be recorded and entered into the minutes of the closed meeting.
So moved. I rescind my original motion and make the motion on these three items.
Yeah, please make a note of that. And do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Manheim. Okay. Would you call the roll?
Mr. Kelly.
Yes.
Mrs. Perot.
Yes.
Mr. Getty.
Yes.
Mrs. Shule.
Yes.
Manhattan?
Yes.
Mrs. McCown?
Yes.
Mr. Spelling?
Yes. So we will adjourn. We're doing the video after. Hey, we are back in open session. It is 9:30 on Monday, August 12th, 2013. This is the District 303 Board of Education. And do I have a motion?
You need a roll call.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll call.
Now a roll call. I see you're all here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Gaffney?
Here.
Mrs. Shule?
Here.
Mr. Manheim?
Here.
Mrs. McCown?
Here.
Mr. McNally?
Here.
Mrs. Pratt?
Here.
Mr. Spring?
Here. Okay. Do we have the motion to read from Jason?
You don't. You're just, you as student A, just uphold the...
Okay. Do we have a motion to uphold the disciplinary action against student A as discussed in executive session?
So.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Mr. Manheim, would you call the roll, please?
Mrs. Shule?
No.
Mr. Manheim?
Yes.
Mrs. McConnell?
Yes.
Mr. McNally?
Yes.
Mrs. Perot?
Yes.
Mr. Gaffney?
No.
Mr. Sperling?
No. And motion is approved. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Oh,
Mr. Manheim, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Nay.
Aye.